From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. More information, more music coming from our country. In the next 60 minutes, I am Stephen Swau, will be accompanying you with all of that. And now, we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia should declare state emergency over COVID-19, MUI said. Pilgrims can perform minor Hajj when Ramadan comes. Now the news in details. The Indonesian Ulema Council, MUI, Advisory Council has called on the Indonesian government to declare a state of emergency in the country over the novel coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak on account of adequate reasons. Head of the MUI Advisory Council, Din Samsudin, noted in a press statement as received by Antara in Jakarta on Thursday that the Indonesian government has sufficient reasons for declaring a state of emergency over COVID-19. He also explained the virus has claimed at least 4,500 lives and infected over 120,000 people worldwide. In Indonesia, 34 people have contracted COVID-19 and one has died of it. By taking into account this challenging reality, it becomes increasingly important for the government and the entire nation to demonstrate their sense of crisis and to remain honest and aware that the outbreak of this COVID-19 that the World Health Organization declared to be a global pandemic has become a serious disaster, so it must not be downplayed, Samsudin said. Saudi Arabia Kingdom keeps on attempting its best for the sake of safety of pilgrims from all over the world, including Indonesia. Relating to the spread of coronavirus COVID-19, Saudi Arabia Kingdom until now still suspend the minor Hajj performance for all pilgrims from many countries who want to perform Umrah. It was stated by Ambassador of Saudi Arabia to Indonesia, Esam bin Abed Al-Takafi, in a special interview with VOI at the embassy in Jakarta on Wednesday. Ambassador Esam bin Abed Al-Takafi explained, his side is still waiting for the result of concrete efforts of Saudi Arabia in tackling the transmission of COVID-19.
All what the Saudi government is doing is because of the safety of pilgrims and the safety of those who are performing Umrah and Hajj to Saudi Arabia. Indonesia is part of the world. When we suspend the Umrah temporarily, it means for the security and for the safe of all those who are coming to Mecca and Medina. You know that millions of people around the world come to Mecca and Medina. Now Saudi Arabia is doing the best just to make Mecca and Medina free of the disease. And hopefully, inshallah, very soon, everything will be back to normal. And hopefully, even in Ramadan, we'll start to receive Umrah's performers.
Moreover, Ambassador of Saudi Arabia to Indonesia, Esam bin Abed Al-Takafi, explained that his government until now has not been able to decide the certainty in the implementation of Hajj Performance 2020, which will be done about in the next 4 months. Chairman of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, Rosan Perkasa Ruslani, encouraged people to not buy out of panic, as food stock ahead of the Eid al-Fitr holidays was still adequate. As quoted by Antara News Agency, during a press conference regarding the coronavirus held at the presidential's offices in Jakarta on Wednesday, stated that there is no problem at all with regard to the availability of food ahead Eid al-Fitr. He ensured that the chambers had received reports regarding the availability of food supplies from member associations. For this reason, he asked the public not to worry about food shortage amid the COVID-19 spread. Ruslani further stated there is no need to buy excessively. There are enough supplies, including ahead of the fasting months of Ramadan. In response to the COVID-19 outbreak, he said, the business sector still strives to maintain continuity by thinking positively and hoping, as well as preparing for the best. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. President Donald Trump announced a 30-day ban on travelers from mainland Europe on Wednesday as the continent reeled from the rapid spread of a coronavirus pandemic that has emptied streets, shuttered shops, and disrupted travel for millions. As quoted by AFP.com, the edict came amid signs of widening European crisis as Italy clocked more than 2,300 new cases in 24 hours and infections in Spain jumped by a quarter to more than 2,100. Ireland, Albania, Belgium, Sweden and Bulgaria registered their first death on Wednesday, bringing Europe's total to 930 from more than 22,000 infections. This is the most aggressive and comprehensive efforts to confront a foreign virus in modern history. Trump said in a primetime television address from the Oval Office his latest attempt to counter criticism of his response so far. The president said the ban would come into effect from midnight Friday but would not affect travelers from Britain, which recently left the European Union to Trump's great approval. Stock markets tumbled Thursday after U.S. President Donald Trump announced a 30-day ban on travel to the United States from Europe over the coronavirus. As quoted by AFP.com, Asian markets were already a sea of red at the open, with traders taking their lead from a global rout as the World Health Organization declared the spread of the new virus was officially a pandemic. But Trump's announcement of the 30-day ban, which includes Britain, caused further selling, despite a series of measures intended to ease the financial pain of the outbreak, which has paralyzed travel and hit business around the world. Tokyo benchmark Nikkei was down 5.42% or 1.051.88 points to 18,364.18, while the broader topics was down 5.06% or 70.15 points to 1,314.97 in the hour after Trump's address. Australia's ASX was down 5.4% while Hong Kong tumbled 3% at the open. India has announced that all visas bearing a select few categories will be suspended for a month in order to halt the spread of COVID-19. Visa-free travel afforded to overseas citizens of the countries has also been suspended until 15 of April. The move is expected to impact tourism, hotel and aviation industries in what will be more bad news for the slowing economy. As quoted by BBC.com, the health ministry said that India has 60 confirmed cases of the virus. This number is expected to grow in coming days as the result for tests conducted earlier become available. The advisory issued on Wednesday night says that only diplomatic officials, employment and project visas will be exempt from the current restrictions, which will be reviewed again in a month. However, it has said that even those allowed in could be subject to 14 days of quarantine and has warned against non-essential travel. India's health ministry says it was among the first countries in the world to prepare for an outbreak of the respiratory illness. However, there are concerns about whether the country will be fully equipped to prevent and treat an outbreak. The government is set to announce that it is stepping up its response to the coronavirus later. The UK is expected to switch to tactics aimed at delaying its spreads rather than containing the disease at the government's Emergency Cobra Committee. It comes after the World Health Organization labeled the outbreak of the disease as a pandemic. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has suspended all travel to the US from Europe, excluding the UK, for 30 days. The US president said the strong but necessary restrictions would come into effect on Friday. Earlier, a cabinet minister was confirmed as being in self-isolation while awaiting the result of a test. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's the commentary. Today's commentary is titled, the visit of Dutch King and Queen to Indonesia. Dutch King Willem Alexander and Queen Maxima were having official visit to Indonesia for 3 days, from March the 10th until the 13th, to improve partnership in various aspects. However, can this visit build better partnership between Indonesia and Netherlands? In the first day meeting at Bogor Palace on Tuesday, $1 billion business agreement meeting between Indonesia and Netherlands was held. After the meeting, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesian government sincerely appreciated the visit of Dutch King and the Queen, who brought 110 business people to cooperate with Indonesian counterparts. The cooperation includes sustainable palm oil production, women peace and security issues, as well as infectious diseases control management. In Europe, according to Joko Widodo, Dutch was the second biggest trade partner for Indonesia. Dutch, which had colonized Indonesia for 3.5 centuries, is now Indonesia's first investment partner and fourth biggest tourism partner. Meanwhile, Dutch King Willem Alexander apologized to Indonesian people about the past colonialism and violence. Then he said, Dutch government had recognized Indonesia's sovereignty in 1949, while independence on August the 17th was politically and morally recognized in 2005. The recognition was marked by the first visit of Dutch Foreign Minister Bernard Pot at that time. Therefore, the visit of King Willem Alexander in 2020 became a hope, thus marking the former colonizer of Indonesia can develop together to form a new relationship based on mutual respect, trust, and friendship. We need to appreciate the visit of the Dutch King and Queen in Indonesia amidst the coronavirus outbreak. It took strong will to visit outbreak areas. Therefore, apology and goodwill to rebuild the trust amidst the global threat is certainly an amazing achievement. Despite rejection and protest by the families of victims during the War for Independence era, the substance of apology and goodwill to rebuild business partnership became a remedy for Indonesia that is now preoccupied by virus and economic instability threat by economic slowdown. Besides that, Dutch government kept coordinating about compensation demand for the victim families and promised to solve it justly and wisely. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Welcome back, listener. Here is Today in History, our regular program. Today in Today in History starts from an event on March 12, 1925, when Sun Yat-sen passed away. Dr. Sun Yat-sen is a key leader of Chinese revolutions and recognized widely as state's father of modern China, both in mainland China and Taiwan. He was born on November 12, 1866. At that time, China was led by an emperor who reigned as if like a god. Sun Yat-sen believed that China needed to be arranged with new way through revolution. Overall, he led revolution 11 times on Qing Dynasty, and finally he succeeded to subvert the empire. Furthermore, China became Republic of China in 1911. Sun Yat-sen was also the founder of the oldest party in Chinese modern history, Kuomintang, becoming president in 1912, 1923 until 1925. Dr. Sun Yat-sen passed away on March 12, 1925. Next event is that in 1967, Provisional People's Consultative Assembly appointed General Suharto to be president. On March 7 to 12, 1967, Provisional People's Consultative Assembly held a special session to observe President Sukarno's performance and finally reached a decision on whether he was involved or not with the rebellion of Indonesia's Communist Party, PKI, in September 1965. The special session was opened on March 7, 1967. At that time, Lieutenant General Soeharto delivered a speech and freed Sukarno from the involvement in the rebellion. On March 12, 1967, the Assembly agreed to withdraw Sukarno's mandate and appointed Soeharto as acting president of Indonesia. The last event is that in 2003, Prime Minister of Serbia, Zoran Dindic, was killed in Belgrade. Zoran Dindic became Prime Minister of Serbia from 2001 to 2003. On March 12, 2003, he was assassinated in Belgrade. The assassination was related to the tensions between Serbia and other Yugoslav countries and his government's policies, which were considered very pro-Western. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Saat aku jauh dari dirimu, membelah langit, membelah lautan. Adakah engkau mendengar lagu rindu yang kutulis untukmu? Betapa jarak waktu memaksa kita memaknai sebuah kata rindu. Adakah engkau mendengar doa-doaku di ruang batinmu? Aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Kutitipkan engkau pada pemilik jiwa, karena ku yakin dia akan menjaga asa yang aku tinggalkan pada lingkar janji kehormatanmu. Oh, karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Bila kau menungguku, we'll be right back.
Thank you very much. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, more information about Indonesia in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Indonesia, the Netherlands Cooperate on Garbage Management and Climate Change. Indonesia and the Netherlands agreed to continue and strengthen cooperation in the field of waste management, the circular economy, water quality, and climate change. The agreement was stated in a Memorandum of Understanding signed by Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, and the Dutch Minister of Infrastructure and Water Management, Cora van Nieuwenhuizen, in Jakarta on Monday, March 9. On the occasion, Minister Siti Nurbaya said, "The Netherlands is a fairly advanced country in waste management, especially in very circular economic innovations. The Netherlands is also one of the European Union member countries that has stopped exporting plastic waste." Minister Siti Nurbaya said that Indonesia highly appreciates the Dutch policy, since Indonesia also does not have policy on importing plastic waste. On the occasion, Minister of Infrastructure and Water Management of the Netherlands, Cora van Nieuwenhuizen, welcomed the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding regarding the circular economy. She said that the Dutch also has experience in processing waste into energy as part of circular economy. According to Minister Cora, the Dutch government is currently developing new fishing for litter project, which is conducted by business entities, as well as recycling its plastic waste into wearable goods. Therefore, the Netherlands invited Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, to visit the Netherlands and directly see the project. The Dutch minister also invited Minister Siti Nurbaya to attend the Global Commission Summit in October 2020. In the forum, the Indonesian government has the chance to convey various efforts on climate change control that has been implemented by Indonesia. The Netherlands also appreciates on the decision of President Joko Widodo's wish that Indonesia will shortly become a member of Global Commissions for Climate Adaptation. In this case, President Joko Widodo designated Minister Siti Nurbaya as Commissioner representing Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kau terima
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Now, we'll give you an information about our tourism or our local wisdom. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to introduce you to Sampirang Beach in North Sulawesi. North Minahasa is one of regencies in North Sulawesi. The regency has strategic location because it is located between Manado and port city of Bitung. Due to its location, which is close to the sea, North Minahasa has many amazing marine tourism objects, among others, sea parks in Gangga Island, Lihaga, Nain, and Talise Islands. In addition to the islands, there are also many exotic and natural beaches. One of them is located at Kalinaun Village, East Likupang District. The local people called it Sampirang Beach. Sampirang Beach has quite long coastal line with smooth white sand. When the seawater is receding, the beach landscape is more expanse with seaweed and coral decoration. Views of small fish among the seaweed and coral leaves become main attraction of the beach. There are also many trees, especially coconut trees, which become natural shelter. The Sampirang Beach has clear water with the beauty of undersea panorama, and if you like swimming, you can do it all you can. To go to Sampirang Beach from Manado, the capital city of North Sulawesi, you can use land transportation to Kalinaun Village for 1 hour trip. Sampirang Beach has not provided supporting tourism facilities yet, but if you come to the beach on holiday, you can find typical snacks sold by villagers. But if you want to find a calm and quiet atmosphere, you should come in weekdays. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Sampirang Beach in North Sulawesi Province. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Terlihat jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Oh, oh, hanya hatiku. Satu tumbuh seribu kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, ia merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, takkan terisi. Ia melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Ia mendengar hanya kupingku. Ia merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Ia mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku.
Bicaralah yang kau mau,
hatiku
ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau, ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau, ini hidupmu.
You are still listening to the English service from Voice of Indonesia. More interesting information coming from Indonesia is coming up shortly. The next one will be Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Ubud Food Festival. Ubud Food Festival, which has been held since 2015. Ubud Food Festival is a cross-culture culinary festival to be held for 3 days, with Indonesian food as its star. The event, which takes place in Ubud, Bali, will present various kinds of Indonesian foods, innovative chefs, and amazing local products. In 2020, Ubud Food Festival has a team, Hero, which plays a major role in Indonesian gastronomical world. With the theme, the festival will raise the role of mother, father, grandma and grandpa who provide foods that are rich of its history and taste. For the 6th year, the festival will explore how diversity of Indonesian cultures plays important roles in its delicious culinary. Through special event and cooking demo, culinary tourism, workshop, cooking class, music and performance, film, market, and adventure, the 3-day cross-culture culinary will introduce Indonesian families' traditional recipes to people. Ubud Food Festival becomes Indonesian platform to serve various kinds of culture, culinary, uniqueness of local products and special menus from famous restaurants to the world. In line with this year's theme, Ubud Food Festival unites heroes, figures of local foods to collaborate with well-known chefs throughout the world. The festival aims to encourage cross-cultural exchange and to create new creation. Ubud Food Festival 2020 will present more than 90 speakers that consist of chefs, restaurant owners, food entrepreneurs, farmers, book writers, researchers, and culinary people.
Festival of the Culinary announced postponement of the event date, which is previously April 17 to 19, 2020, to be June 26 to 28, 2020. Committee of the Ubud Food Festival took decision to postpone the event after considering situation of the recent world related to coronavirus COVID-19. Janet Deneve, founder and also director of Ubud Food Festival, said that as one of Indonesian culinary themes, the festival is also responsible to prevent coronavirus outbreak and to ensure the health and safety of all related sites to keep being protected. On June 26 to 28, it is hoped that the condition has been conducive. Therefore, Ubud Food Festival 2020 can present culinary festival in secure, comfortable and healthy conditions. That was our segment for today, Miss Leni. Thanks for listening.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta? dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara. Hidupku.
Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah
jangan sia-sia. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah
jangan sia-sia. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah
sia-sia. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah.
Besides information, we also have presented good musics coming from our country. Anyway, the next one will be the information and also music. So stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present you a song by Vina Panduwinata entitled Burung Camar. Vina Panduwinata is one of Indonesia's pop music divas. Her career in the Indonesian music world began since she released her first album titled Citra Biru in 1981. Her name was soaring up when she released the album Burung Camar in 1985. There is a leading song in the album with the same title of the album. Due to the popularity of the song Burung Camar, Vina Panduwinata then famous with the nickname Si Burung Camar or The Seagull. The song Burung Camar was composed by Aryono Huboyo Jati and Iwan Abdurrahman. The song tells a story of a bird who becomes solace to a girl who is feeling sadness. Seeing a seagull flying over the stretch of blue sea, the girl then feel happy and forgot her problems even just for a moment. Listener, let's listen to Vina Panduwinata with the song Burung Camar. Enjoy the song.
Bahagia darat terperi danian derap jiwaku tak kenal duka derita tak kenal nestapa ceria berpesona tiba-tiba ku tertegun lubuk hatiku tersentuh perahu kecil terakhir. Tiba-tiba ku sadari lagu burung camar tadi cuma kisah sedihnya dari hati yang terluka. Tiada teman berbagi derita, bahkan untuk berbagi cerita. Burung camar tinggi melayang bersahutan.
cuma kisah sederhana kamu. Aku yang terbukti cara terima berbagi derita, bahkan untuk berbagi cerita. Burung cemas
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku melangkah lagi lewat jalanan sepi, perlahan tapi pasti mengikuti ayun melodi. Langkah silih berganti melalui hari yang sunyi, aku melangkah lagi dengan pasti. Langkah semakin cepat karena cintaku semakin dekat, hasrat kini terungkap dalam kata-kata yang terucap. Waktu
Voice of Indonesia.
It's been almost an hour. I'm Stefan Aswau and all the crews from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in the English service. We wish the information we presented will be satisfactory. Anyway, let us know what you think. Send your criticism, suggestion, question, or maybe a request. You can send it to our email voi@voanews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listener, more information about Indonesia is still coming up for you. So make sure you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.